everybody. We're back for another Commission podcast. This is the second or first, depending on which order they listen to it, of Christmas presents that one Amy Miller bought on behalf of her husband, Jason, for his Christmas present. This is 1984's The Toxic Avenger.
Wow. Legend. Legendary movie, I'd say.
It is legendary. First time I'd ever seen it, by the way.
Okay.
Directed by Michael Hertz. Starring, if you can call being in this movie, starring in anything, Mitch Cohen, Mark Torgiel, and Andre Miranda.
Famously a trauma film. Some of you may have heard the word trauma before.
Not just any trauma film. This is the quote-unquote movie that built trauma.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. This is the one they're known for. Among some more minor successes,
and it seems largely because of one alt theater in New York City ran it every Friday at midnight until it, through sheer force of will, became a cult classic. Yeah,
yeah.
Amy, just as she did in the other podcast, and again, I'm not sure which one you'll hear first, so I want to make sure I cover my bases. Says Jason and I have been together for 26 years, and we're just married in 2012. Pretty sheltered. I was pretty sheltered as far as entertainment went when we met in 1990. Practically no disposable income in my family. Jason opened me up to a whole new world of movies and video games. The zombie movies. Oh, the zombie movies. The two movies I'm commissioning hold a special place in his heart, and I cannot wait to hear what you think.
If you haven't heard the first one yet, oh, just wait until you get there. The ruthless fun we make of the span of your relationship and just so recently getting married. If you have heard the first one, you know that's not true. But
yeah, I was gonna say, did we? Because
no,
I kind we of, didn't. I'm kind of having trouble remembering.
It's been
what
a few
was
days.
The first movie?
The first movie was shit. I can't remember. We just came off lunch, and I've had a few drinks.
Yeah.
So
the bonus here, Amy, Jason, you're tailing off of one of our holiday drunken lunches. So
yeah.
We are three drams to the wind.
The Transformers movie.
Oh,
that's
fuck,
right.
Of course.
Also 84?
Yes.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if this is your first podcast, you're getting another movie than it's Transformers. So what do you think of that? Man, I don't know what to say about this movie because it doesn't really care what I think of it.
No, it does not.
And it's going to do its own damn thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be the most preposterous, ridiculous, and extreme version of any scene, and they're not going to stop.
No, they're not.
They're not going to stop until, like, you know, average movie, villain comes into a McDonald's or whatever, and, you know, they're gonna harass people. They might murder a few innocent bystanders. Very few films are going to single out the blind girl, shoot her adorable golden retriever companion animal, and then rape her. This is the movie where it's just like you just make wants to make sure that you are not in any doubt who to root for. The toxic sludge monster versus the blind girl rapist dog murderers. It wants you to side of the toxic Avenger.
And if you go into this scene expecting anything else, you've probably made a horrible mistake because you've already watched a scene of a 12-year-old run over by a car
because people are
on his
bored.
Bike because these guys these teenagers are bored, whatever. They run over him. That doesn't do the job, so they reverse and they run over his head and they crush it, and then they get out and take Polaroids of it. If you didn't know going into the restaurant scene what movie you were watching, you must have been in the bathroom during that scene.
Yeah, no, this movie is offensive, not just
absolutely.
I mean, it's deliberately.
It's
offensively
offensive. Most levels.
Yeah, like, artistically.
It's a
morally.
Bad movie. Can I just say it's a bad movie?
Sure. But it's a bad movie.
It does know it's a bad movie.
I don't know that
like you said, it doesn't care that it's a bad movie.
Right.
And I don't know that it matters that it's a bad movie.
Right. Like, this movie, I think, is designed to be seen when you are a teenager.
Absolutely.
Preferably if you're underage drinking or engaging in other illegal substances for your age. And I think it's funny because I was dimly aware of this stuff because it got covered in, like, I like to read Starlog. I keep up on science fiction when I was a kid. And
Starlog covered this?
And for
I
whatever
guess?
Reason, also Marvel Comics was all about the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, in the 90s
they
had
fact,
a lot.
I was convinced that this was an old, like some kind of horror series that the trauma films was inspired by, but apparently it's the opposite. The trauma film came out, and then Marvel or maybe Image or Dark Horse comics did a series based on the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, I think it was Marvel in the early 90s.
Okay, because I know that, like, you know, Marvel, this guy had some spotlight stuff in select Marvel comics, and I think he got featured in a couple Wizard articles. Huh. Of Wizards, I don't know if you're aware, for whoever's not aware of it, is, like, it used to be, I don't even know if it's still in existence, but it's a periodical about the collection and the comic book industry its essential function is it values comics. Tells you what your comics are worth, but it also has articles about it. Anyway, that was my extent of being aware of what the Toxic Avenger was all about. It's also legendary for how violent it is, although I thought the violence was so far over the top and fantastical that and not realistic in any way.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the part of the movie that I love. The part of the movie where they're not afraid to just go for Brocon gore. And, like, I mean, and the actual, growing up with zombie movies, that's a staple of mine. And I love it. I love it to this day.
And the actual transformation of the Toxic Avenger was gruesome to the extent that I found it personally, even though I could tell it's fake, just the visuals were just disgusting.
They are.
Disgusting in a way that, like, you know, partially dissolved dog shit in orange juice would be disgusting.
Okay.
Like, I don't, you know, it's just, man, he's like, chunks of his hair was falling out, and he's trying to put himself out in his bathtub. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, he sets himself on fire. Right. Well, he gets set on fire by the sludge.
Right, right.
And then he just kind of gradually turns into Toxie. I'm not sure how that works, but
this is the first movie we've watched in our studio where I felt self-conscious about what we were watching. Okay. Because, like, you know, we've watched some stuff and there's been, like, hails of gunfire and people
screamers.
Swearing and I'm wondering, I wonder how much of this is bleeding through the walls. But, like, there's a couple scenes in here that are essentially 80s porn.
Right.
At least the soundtrack is. There's not penetrative sex or anything, but there's this woman doing the softcore porn voice, and I'm like, God damn, I hope people don't think we're over here jerking off, because we totally are, and if they knock on the door, I'm going to have to pull my pants up. And
the amount of screaming in this movie is off the charts. Sure. I mean, nobody in this movie... This movie is as loud and obnoxious as you could possibly imagine a film being.
The soundtrack is relentless.
It is.
It is just going 80s soundtrack, you in the face.
And when it's not doing that, women and men alike are just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Sure.
And that's 90 minutes of screaming and synth soundtrack, essentially. It slows down at one particular scene for them to have a heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah. And I didn't, and even, we'll talk about that here in a minute.
Yeah.
So that's it. There's no way I could spoil this movie. If you've never seen this movie, then you probably never will. And I certainly, if you already know this is either up your alley. And if you know this movie's up your alley, you've already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the most pointless review of all time.
right.
You know, as far as, like,
maybe you haven't heard of it. I suppose it's possible you've never even heard of this movie.
How? Well, maybe.
I mean, younger kids probably don't know of this 1984 film.
Yeah.
And you know what? It might be right up your alley.
Right.
Just get ready for some schlock.
Yeah.
Just the schlockiest. This movie is like, if you took the Jackass guys and got them together with Mel Brooks and said,
told them to make a
superhero movie, this is what they come up with. I mean, that is Lloyd Kaufman, essentially.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
So it is streaming for free for Amazon Prime members, so there's that. Right.
I think it might also be on Netflix. Mm. I'm not sure, though.
One part of positive nostalgia is the World Trade Center.
That's cool.
And
right
opening
up front,
scenes,
yeah.
Like, you see those two big buildings standing there proudly and dominating the New York skyline. And it's so... Because, guys, I feel like a lot of movies... I don't know. Do you think... I know that Spider-Man, I think, was famously edited to get rid of the towers.
Like, right after it happened,
But I feel like there's, you know, not as many movies where that's looming in the background that you would think, as much shit that gets filmed in New York City.
Right.
Like, it's been a couple of years, at least, since I've seen something like, oh my God, look at that.
Yeah.
That's kind of
amazing. It was striking.
Because, I mean, it just dominates the skyline.
It does.
And it's throughout, since this is essentially across the river in New Jersey, it shows up in a lot of scenes.
Yeah, so that's the interesting part. This whole thing takes place in New Jersey, and the monologue up front the narration in Tromaville.
Yeah.
Which I guess is where all the bad things that happen in the Troma universe happen.
Apparently so.
Is it their Gotham, I guess?
It's worse than Gotham.
Way worse.
Because like I said, like the Joker might kill innocent bystanders, might shoot a dog, but I don't think he's going to rape a blind girl.
Probably not, no. And he's not going to so gratuitously kill you.
No.
He's not going to...
Eh, I don't know.
I've never seen Joker deliver a dick punch.
I've never seen someone... dick punch a man into a barrel. The Joker, anyway.
But the Joker doesn't get down like that.
He loads you into a barrel and he stuffs you in primarily by punching you right in the dick.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. A lot of dick jokes in this. A lot of crotchal humor.
A lot of trauma to the groin.
Yeah, and actually, so let's talk about New Jersey for a second. So it all takes place in New Jersey. And they're looking across at New York and they're saying, "Oh, look at society and how far we've come," and essentially, the toll is, there's a lot of toxic waste out there, and there's pollution everywhere, which got me thinking he's essentially Captain Planet. Like, the Toxic Avenger is Captain Planet. But then I watched through this film, and I realized that's not the case at all. And in fact, they set this up as toxic sludge and the waste of society being the solution for crime and corruption. Right? I mean, he's created by the very pollution that they're decrying at the beginning of the movie, but it's only by the creation of the Toxic Avenger that this town can be cleaned up. And they view cleaning it up not as removing the toxic sludge, but as removing the corruption and crime.
Interesting. I thought it was interesting because I feel like you don't often see the kind of pollution that you do back in the 80s and certainly in the 70s, and you know, the just kind of casual litter. I mean, I no doubt there's still a lot of pollution happening both in the air and the water and all that stuff. But if you compare it to where things were, I do feel like we've made some very real progress in those areas because, like, you just don't see. I mean, we don't like. I
want to be super cynical here and say, tell that to people in Flint or Detroit.
Well, but I'm saying Cincinnati and Indianapolis are not really famously clean cities either.
Right.
But if you compare, they're certainly not like what you see Tromaville, where just garbage is dumped in the streets. And sure. I feel like that there were a lot of towns. Like, I remember the hometown I grew up being really trashy and dirty, and you drive through it nowadays, it's, you know, kind of baseline Midwestern whatever. Uh-huh. But you go to some places like fucking Albuquerque, New Mexico.
You know why?
There's you can't find trash on the streets in San Jose, California, and
it's because the prison population has been boosted so much
that they have
now we have a bunch of people.
It's mostly social change. Like, there's two types of pollution, right? There's the type of pollution that you can't see that's still bad, and there's also the kind of, I think, the fact that it's become a stigma, social taboo, and just how gauche and gross it is to just litter.
Yeah.
Like, that's
the macro pollution.
A big part
of it. If you will.
I think that's a big part. Society nowadays, you're seen as a garbage person.
Yeah.
If you just fucking empty an ashtray into a public street or
right. But if you dump tons of CO2 gases into the air, nobody really cares.
Yeah.
Because can't see it.
It's certainly gotten better. I mean, if you look at the smog, in cities versus what it was, it's still we have a long way to go. And I'm not saying we can't do much more for the environment.
Yeah, we recently watched Falling Down, which is maybe the smoggiest city I've ever seen outside of China.
Yeah.
Like, that depiction of L.A. in the 80s is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
And
that's the way
and
it
I've
was.
Been to L.A. in the interim, and it's nothing like that anymore.
Certainly.
It looks much, much better.
But yeah, I know. I think it's interesting because, like you said, it is kind of like an antithesis of Captain Planet. I'm not going to say, I tried to argue in the Rocky podcast that Toxic Avenger in any way had any kind of role in turning society around.
Right.
But I do think it was a reflection of what the things we were worried about and the things we saw as big problems and things that needed change.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, as much as pollution is still an ever-present problem, so is crime and corruption.
Right.
And I don't know that pollution is the solution for crime and corruption, like this movie seems to be saying.
It would be nice if the extreme form of a problem would be its own solution.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
So a problem gets so bad that it solves itself?
Right, right. Like, if you get so broke at some point, you declare bankruptcy and you get a clean slate. If you pollute a lake so much that eventually some avenging force is going to emerge from that pond scum and fuck over the company that made it that way or
this
whatever.
This is like a bad programming error where like the number goes so far negative that it rolls just, over positive.
Right, right, right. It overflows a buffer and
yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
Why did they make the Toxic Avenger? Why did they make Melvin such a dipshit? Like, this guy is just a complete failure at life. And, like, it's very few times I've met a person that's this fucking inept at everything. He seems like he's got mental problems, emotional problems, social problems, financial problems, skin problems, fashion problems,
tooth problems, like problems.
And some of them are self-inflicted. Like, no one forced you to wear a pair of jeans where one leg was 8 inches longer than the other.
Maybe his mom did. His elderly, like his obscenely elderly
is
mother.
Is that the problem? She had him when she was like 55 years old, and he's just a result of extreme chromosomal damage?
It could be. It could be. I mean, birth defects are not out of the question here, certainly.
That's the thing. Like when Spider-Man gets bit by the spider, it doesn't really change who he is. It gives him some fantastic new abilities, where the Toxic Avenger just remakes this guy from...
Yeah,
like,
this is the most extreme version of it.
It changes his personality. It changes his intelligence. It changes his
voice,
confidence. I mean, everything is completely redone. But it's weird because like there's a couple like I'm like okay, they got these jock assholes. I was primed to hate them, but and then that's before they started murdering children just because they're bored. Yeah. I'm saying just when they're just doing their dickish jock stuff. But I'm like. Honestly, I guess I could get behind hating this Melvin guy. I just saw him fling a mop in someone's face, just not paying attention.
Right, that was like a pretty shitty thing to do.
Yeah, I would probably have some words to say to him about that.
Okay,
I
mean, that's
so weird to make him so inept that I just couldn't really relate to him. And then it's also interesting when he becomes a Toxic Avenger. He's got two. He's like at the whole. He's like. Rawr, rawr. He's like a fucking Rancor.
Uh-huh.
But then when he talks, he sounds like. You know, like Pierce Bronson out of James Bond. He's like perfect locution and like this urbane accent and like, what?
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, so this is obviously based on all the comic book superheroes that you see. Like you mentioned Spider-Man. That's a perfect example because it is the nerd power fantasy, right? Like, oh, I'm so weak and powerless right now, but if something were to change, how would I use that power?
Mm-hmm.
And the Toxic Avenger seems to do just that, which is avenge, you know? I mean, everything about him was so pathetic before his transformation, and now everything is so idyllic except for his appearance.
Right.
Now he goes out and he acts on that, and he almost gets swept up in it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's, you know, that's a fairly interesting and compelling story, not as told in the movie, though. Mm-hmm. The movie actually shortcuts it so much as to make it absurd. But I don't know. I think it's just the natural, like, if you take everything that this movie does and you crank it to not 11, but like 14, 20 even, if you're a Westworld fan, and you say, this is it, that we're just going to go for everything, then the Toxic Avenger comes naturally from that.
Huh.
Let's make him as weak and stupid and powerless as possible and make him then as strong and eloquent and intelligent as possible.
Hmm. Yeah, it's probably what they did. I question the choice. Like, I already wanted to hate the bullies just because they were bullies and because they're persecuting the social outcast. Like, I'm not a fan of his careless mop flinging, but you know, whatever. Like, it's not acceptable to torment a person and ridicule someone to committing suicide, essentially.
Yeah.
On the other hand, so why the subplot of these people running over 12-year-olds in the streets?
I mean, it's to show how bad they are, how bad they need mopping.
Because at one point I joked when we were watching this movie, it's like, there's the only people in this city that aren't heinous individuals are the Toxic Avenger, old ladies, children, and the blind girl.
Yeah.
Everyone else, and maybe the one good cop in Tromaville. Yeah. Everyone else is just irredeemable garbage people. Like the mayor of the town, not only is he like just this fat, formless sack of shit, that likes getting his body rubbed over by beautiful women. Not only is he, for no real reason, moving the toxic dump to the city's water supply just so he can laugh at it with his cronies.
Yeah, I guess to redevelop for real estate or something. I don't know.
Not only is he involved in some kind of white slavery empire, he's also the town's biggest drug pin. He's also involved in police corruption. Like,
he's the worst.
Again, it's the excess, and they've got, like, you know, their town. Like, I already talked about the first encounter with the blind girl and, like, the Joker archetype and how just terrible the villains are. But, like, all of the villains were, like, curiously colorful. Like, the first gang we see has got, like, Cigar Face,
right.
Who is just a dude who smokes a cigar, and some, like, the most normal-looking guy you'll see in the whole movie, and then some weird transvestite hooker murder character.
Honestly, this is where they start to lose me. And I know they're going over the top on purpose.
Yeah, and the movie's 30 years old.
And the movie's from the 80s. It's not as sensitive as we are now, certainly. But that's where they start to lose me, is when they start stereotyping people. So, like, Melvin, from Melvin on up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, fine, if you want to stereotype a bad guy, go for it. If you want to, like, stereotype pretty much anyone else, I'm not on board. And while I love the gore and I love those kind of things, that's where this movie loses me.
Yeah, and I wish...
And I know that's the point. I know it's the point. I'm sorry, I just can't get past it.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, if it's the point, then, like, I'm almost like, well, what is the point? Because if you... I mean, I guess... I don't know why. Why do I hate this movie and I like Crank so much?
Sure. That's a fair question. This one is much less skillfully crafted.
Yeah,
I can tell you that much. The comedy is so broad,
and it's like
that
also
the jokes are not funny.
Yeah,
the vast majority of them, some of them are, but there are, like, jokes per minute. This thing is up there. Like,
oh, like the snake gag, perfect example. A guy came in and put a snake down a effeminate yoga instructor or Pilates instructor, whatever, dance aerobics instructor. Yep. It's a Gene Simmons. No, not Gene Simmons.
Richard Simmons. The Gene Simmons type.
Gene Simmons type. Had the face paint, the giant tongue.
Yeah.
And he had just gotten this speech about, like, you guys have to do exactly what I do. And then he starts wriggling around, and then the whole class starts wriggling around. And I'm just like, and the scene seemed like it felt like some of the visual gags, they just do it and move on. It's like, oh, yeah, let's just milk all the humor out of this. I'm like, man, there's not a lot of humor to milk.
No, there's not.
This cow is wrung dry.
Maybe 30 years ago that was a funny joke. I don't know. I was a kid then, and I have seen this movie once before, and I remember it being funnier than it was this time. So maybe I'm just growing out of this stage, but, yeah, the humor is so broad.
Well, also, like, the credit sequence, man, there's something for everybody in there. Like, whatever you're turned on by, you'll probably see it. Do you like muscly dudes? You got muscly dudes.
Oh,
like,
right, where they just tour the gym.
Do you like dudes in Speedos? Do you like girls with firm breasts? Do you got girls with natural breasts? You got girls like I feel like that's essentially there to titillate everyone.
Do you like giant fat men's laying along human-sized hoagies?
Right,
that's there too.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
for it, man.
Getting their curves caressed. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, there's also the weird, what's up with the Nazi cop? Was that, like, an homage to Young Frankenstein or Dr. Strangelove or...
Yeah, I felt like this guy thought he was Peter Sellers, and nobody told him he wasn't.
Well, that's the thing. Like, in Dr. Strangelove, that happens at the very last act, and it's funny, and they do it, and then they move on. And there's also a reason for... That was also partially poking fun at the United States co-opting some of the Nazi scientists and whatnot for our space program.
Right, they had a point.
Here it's just like constant, and like he throws up the Heil Hitler 3-4 times, he goose steps a couple times, he clicks his, like, and they show his fucking jack boots. Like, man, they really wanted you to know this guy's a closet Nazi.
Yeah, no, they couldn't leave well enough alone on that, and I don't think they cared to. Like, they probably knew full well that they were going overboard with it.
Other thing to bother me, and then we'll get to, like, I don't know. I alternate between things I was impressed by or morbidly curious by and things that I didn't like. Little too genuine. In the scene where the Joker guy menaces and tries to rape the blind girl and kills her dog, a little too genuine a performance with that baby. There's like a literally like a 12-month-old baby that he's shoving a shotgun in his face, and this kid is clearly terrified and clutching to, I guess, his maybe his actual mother. Like there might be some real scarring happening in this scene.
Could be, yeah.
Like this kid doesn't know that this isn't real. He's got a he's got some freak with some crazy makeup on. He's screaming and yelling and shoving a gun and threatening his mother. Like this kid might grow up to be a psychopath.
Yeah, no, it's not a good thought.
I don't know about that. The other thing is, why did they spend the first half of the movie stubbornly refusing to show the Toxic Avenger's face? Because honestly, it's the least gross thing in this movie.
Right, and I feel like it was build up for that reveal when he finally looks at Sarah, or he finally, you know, he looks at Sarah and he reveals himself to us as the audience, and I think that was supposed to be shocking, mm-hmm. but it wasn't really that shocking, and Goonies came out after this, right? Because the appearance of Toxie is actually a lot like Sloth.
I think Goonies came before.
This one's in, what, 94?
84, it says. 84. Oh, Goonies 85. So they were contemporary. Probably Toxic Avenger came out before.
Yeah, I would think so.
Sloth has got the worst face, in my opinion.
Okay.
Toxie's face is the least offensive part of him. And this all comes after the transformation sequence, which might have been one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and you look at that and you say, is this going to be shocking? And I'm with you. I don't think it really was.
No.
The reveal of Toxie.
There's also a lot of other weird things about him and the blind girl's dynamic. Like, for example, there's this whole montage of them being essentially in domestic bliss. Mm-hmm. They fall in love because he saves her from the rape gang. And takes her back to his swamp/toxic dump hideout, and she gives it the woman's touch, which I don't know what that means, and then in context of a blind girl hiding in curtains, I really don't know what it means. But they do this sight gag where he's like mugging with a traffic cone on his head and taking it off like it's a hat, and she looks over him, laughs, and I'm like, she's blind.
Uh-huh.
How? What? That? What?
She shouldn't necessarily know that anything is even happening, let alone that it's funny.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
There are
so many jokes. Like I said, jokes per minute, very high, but kind of all of them are bad. There's maybe one or two that I liked.
The things I laughed at were just over the top, when people's heads explode, when dude got his arm ripped off. And
The crotch scene. So there's one... There's one ridiculous scene. So the mayor's goon, right? This mustachioed guy who's got like the take from the drug operation.
Mm-hmm.
He Cigar goes.
Face is what you're talking about.
No,
right?
No. It's the other guy, the white guy who kind of comes up to him and the mayor tells him, "Yeah, go put that on the desk or whatever. We'll get it in a bit."
Okay.
And then he goes into the gym and he starts working out, right? And then Toxic Avenger comes in and he crushes his head and.
With the weights.
And as he crushes this guy to death, this is a move that the movie pulls several times, which always shocks me and is always perplexing. But it shows a tight shot on his crotch, just kind of wriggling around.
After he kills him in his death throes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A lot of crotch shots in this. And some of them were supposed to be, like, gratuitously sexy. I don't know what that one was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not like he's wearing spandex and you can see anything moving around. It's just his shorts.
It's just his crotch kind of rhythmically pulsing, twitching.
And then they show the real money shot, which is his head chopped in half and his tongue hanging out. And that was good, but I don't know what the crotch shots are about. Very weird.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things I laughed at, like when they showed the guys at the hazardous waste transport and they're transporting this hazardous waste.
Mm-hmm.
On a flatbed truck, and none of the barrels are even restrained. So as they're driving around, the barrels are just moved. Like, they get to fall off any. None of that happens, because what happens is they're talking about smoking weed after work, and the guy says, "Well, look what I got." And he holds up like a quart bag full of cocaine.
Uh-huh.
And the driver says, "Well, hell, let's just stop right now." And then they both put their bags full into this. They both put their face full into a Ziploc bag full of cocaine.
Yep.
But as they come to a stop, it's like all the barrels are sloshed. I thought that was really funny.
The sloshing barrels. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's in there that's like that. Like Toxie cock punching this guy into a barrel was pretty funny. But yeah, a lot of the stuff is just really broad. And I laughed at like how bad an effect was.
Yeah, definitely.
or like how bad the music was or how corny the line was. Like, and I was puzzled by things like this weird, really weird move where he seems like he randomly kills a woman at a laundromat.
Uh-huh.
And the movie doesn't bother to tell you like why, you know,
not till later. Yeah.
The scientist at one point says that he's got some kind of instinctual superpower to detect evil and eliminate it. And he goes and kills this literally little old lady. Like, she's like 4 foot
tiny.
Nothing.
Yep.
And in a fairly gruesome way, he like irons her face and shoves her in a washing machine and does all this other stuff.
Steam cleans her.
And then the movie for a good 5-10 minutes lets you think that Toxie just, you know, killed some, or, and even Toxic Avenger himself thinks this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I understand why the mayor would want to make heat with this, because Toxic Avenger is causing him a lot of pain points. But why is a Toxic Avenger not clear about why he killed this woman? Does he not understand his own powers?
Well, I feel like this is wrapped up in the idea that Toxic Avenger gets carried away, right? And I agree with you. I think this is a message that kind of gets lost in the movie until the Toxic Avenger says it, which is way too late. You should be feeling this as he's feeling it, and you're not. And that is kind of the precursor to what I feel is the ultimate failure scene, which is the scene where his blind girlfriend Sarah is in his house. And he's coming home after killing that lady, and they're playing string synth music like this is some horror scene, and she's perplexed about, like, oh, this is after he runs that guy off the road.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, I remember.
And so he's, like losing control.
Maybe Toxic Avenger's actually turned into a bad guy. Like, or...
But you don't really get that from that scene, because this guy deserves to be run off the fucking road and killed.
Right, and that's the thing, like...
So... Until, like, as they're playing this string music and making it seem scary and menacing, I'm thinking Toxie's just coming home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he's killed this guy, but he deserved it, and he's just coming home. This is what he's been doing all movie. And so the movie doesn't properly prepare you for the idea that he is kind of doubting his own sanity at this point.
Because that's the thing, like, in any other movie, I'd be like, you are going too far. Like, you know, like, at some point,
right.
Like, this is not exactly justice that he's dispensing. But on the other hand, one of the things about the over-the-top nature of these people's crimes is, like, there's almost nothing that you would say is too far.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know, when you're killing dogs and threatening 12-month-olds and killing random people that are trying to beat a peacemaker and raping blind girls, like, and I see it all happen. So there's no judge, jury involved. Like, it's just, you know, Toxic Avenger.
It's perfect information.
You don't need, everything you do is all right by me.
Right.
It's weird that he was like, oh, I've really crossed a line here, or I might hurt you, my girlfriend. I'm like, I never got that.
And I think the reason he says that is because he almost ran over a bunch of kids on that hillside, on that playground.
Because he did get pretty reckless, but they didn't really.
And he caused that car crash, and the cars blew up. And
right. And that's something that, which I thought, you know, because he's like, you know, the car flips over, it drives through a crowd full of children and innocent people, and then goes off a cliff and flips over and blows up on fire, and the head guy Bozo, dies, and Toxie gets out, and he's just like, oh yeah, you know, another day, well done. And I remember thinking, like, wow, that's the first time I've actually seen him endanger innocence in his quest for justice, and maybe they should have, if this was a better film. And this has nothing to do with budget. They could have just, like, some of these tweaks could have just made it an arguably better film better at what it's trying to do. Like, he could have been like, oh man, like, yeah, maybe my pursuit is righteous, but I don't need to endanger people. Like,
right.
I'm having almost too much fun dispatching these bad guys and making it super ironic, and I cannot endanger innocent people when I do that.
Right.
But they don't, like, those are all things I had to kind of put two and two together, and this isn't the kind of movie where you really want to make your audience think that much about it, right?
Yeah, it's like adding two and two, but one of the two is slightly obscured, and you're not sure it's a two, but you think it's a two, so you're going to say it's four, but you're not totally certain until later in the movie.
Right.
When they fully reveal it.
Right.
And I don't know. It didn't work for me specifically in that little chunk. But I mean, the rest of it is, you know, as far as narrative goes, it's fine.
Of a piece.
Sure.
Say.
Yeah.
I don't know about fine, but it's of a piece.
That's the good thing about Troma, I guess, is there's nothing quite like it. You know, you can't find this anywhere else. You can get glimpses of it in other stuff, but
right.
This is just willing to go all out. They're willing to go where nobody else is, and that's kind of the charm of it. And yes, it's offensive. Yes, it's over the top. Yes, it's bad, but does that mean it shouldn't exist?
So we, down in Huntsville, when we did the Rocket City NerdCon, we kind of talked up another one of the guests were there, Daniel Boyd.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is a famous trauma director himself and writer.
Right.
Have you seen, have you seen any of the films yet?
The Space Preachers? No, I haven't.
Me and Cecily and I were talking about sitting down and watching like Chillers and that other one.
Do you have those DVDs? Because I know he gave us some. Okay, cool.
I do. I was just wondering, because am I in for more? Like how?
I don't know.
How crazy is that?
No idea.
So, because I'm kind of interested in, now that I've seen like the trauma film that built trauma. Because I guess trauma before this was like a crazy sex, like B grade softcore sex empire.
Doesn't surprise me.
And you can definitely see a lot of that on display. Yeah. Like there's lots of titties and fake sex scenes. And
yeah,
stuff
and
like
one
that.
Of the sequels, Ron Jeremy stars. So.
Oh well, of course he does.
Yeah,
because he's never turned down a gig.
Right.
We should get him on Bald Move.
We should
have
yeah.
him be our official voiceover guy.
Just have him be a regular.
Hey, it's me, Ron Jeremy. I'm wondering because after I get done watching this, I texted Cecily. I mm-hmm. said, have you seen any trauma films? She's like, no, it's one of the reasons I'm kind of excited to see that Daniel stuff. And I'm like, well, okay, we might watch some of it tonight.
Okay, yeah.
Because
let me know how it goes.
I'm just
kind of like
curious
to
see,
too.
Like, is there any shades to the trauma universe? Or
right.
is it all this just constant, nonstop, in-your-face schlock?
Yeah, I don't know. The only other trauma thing I've heard of is, like, Return to Nuke 'Em High. But I haven't seen it. I've only heard of it. I don't know what Daniel did, but talking with Daniel, he actually seems pretty knowledgeable about filmmaking. So, I would expect his stuff not to be kind of as disjointed as this.
Right.
But
oh,
who knows?
One other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Daniel seems like he's interested in telling a story, but
yes.
Who knows? There's this one sequence with Bozo and what was his
slug, the Corey Feldman, dude.
Yes.
This Robert Pritchard guy looks exactly like Corey Feldman looked 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
He looks like Corey Feldman's older, douchier brother.
Yeah.
Like from the Goonies.
Yep.
Like you know how Mikey had an older brother? This
uh-huh.
is Mouth's. This is Mouth's older brother, and he's turned psychotic. But after...
I thought it might be him, and then I was like, no, time doesn't
yeah,
line
I was
up
like,
that
no,
way.
I was like,
yeah.
This was contemporary of the Goonies, and Corey Feldman is a little boy, so
yeah.
that doesn't work. So they go off on a night and they're running over innocent people
mm-hmm.
and they hit this 12-year-old boy on his bike. I don't know what his mom or his sister is thinking, sending him, you know, on a dark piece of highway on
pitch
his 10
black.
Speed. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what she's thinking, but I'm not gonna blame bad parenting. This is just homicidal mania.
Oh, I blame bad parenting in this city. There are kids playing, not even playing in the
yeah.
street. Like I can understand throwing a ball in the street. They are sitting down having a fucking picnic on a parkway.
Right.
Like,
right.
Get some control over your kids, parents.
On the other hand, if the parents really gave a shit, they probably wouldn't raise their child in a city that's an open sewer system of radioactive waste, too.
Maybe
so.
They can't help it. Maybe they don't have the money to move. But they have the money to keep their damn kids out of the street.
Out of the street,
yeah,
right.
I can tell you that.
But anyway, they run over this kid, and they're all, like, you know, taking their trophy shots of it. They're neganing it up. And
yeah.
What Slug at one point says, they're like, oh, yeah, let's do another. He's like, oh, I got to go home. I got to get up early tomorrow. I thought he's got to go hit the gym or something. He goes, I got to go to church.
And they have a good laugh.
No, they don't.
They
all kind of get like sober, reflective
oh, right.
looks on their face like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're right.
But what's weird is that he then the next scene we see him, he goes to like
the gym, yeah.
gym after hours and fucks his girlfriend in the boys' room.
Maybe
so,
that's why he had to. Maybe that's why he had to leave early.
Huh. That's not
so
church.
That's his church. That's his quote-unquote church.
You know,
church.
I have heard people refer to the gym as like the Iron Church.
Right.
I've never heard her just like to say the church, but...
Maybe that's what they meant.
It's so weird because like his girlfriend is one of the ones with a thoughtful look on her face too, and she's the one that he met there to bang.
Yeah, so I don't understand. I think it's Bozo's girlfriend because she seduces Melvin, right?
Uh-huh.
She's... The previous night, they were driving around, running over 12-year-olds, crushing their heads and taking Polaroids of it. The very next day, they terrorize Melvin. They send him flying out the window, and then she's getting all worried about him on the sidewalk as he's transforming, and I'm like, you just murdered a 12-year-old last night and took joy in it.
Yeah, and everyone...
Who are you?
And I was worried for a minute that they're going to have her fall in love with him and they're going to be a love story. I'm like, I am not going to buy this on any level. I'm actually glad they brought the blind girl along.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, everyone in this gym is a total garbage person because everyone in the gym comes out to see... First of all, they all participate in this little goat, the sheep joke, which, to be honest, a sheep wearing lipstick was pretty fucking funny.
It was funny? I don't know how it worked logistically, but it was funny. Because
I thought it was a fake sheep at one point, but it's a real sheep that they just somehow got their lips covered with lipstick. Like, that was a really funny visual. But everyone joins in on that, and then everyone follows him out, and after he's fallen into toxic sludge, and cops are catching on fire, and it's just a gruesome scene, they're all still on the sidewalk pointing and laughing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in this city is a criminal deviant.
Yeah, it's a terrible city.
Welcome to Tromaville.
I wouldn't want to live there.
I would not. No, it's just a shitty cigar face nightmare.
You know, the other strange thing about Tromaville is their restaurants. So there's the scene where they go into the taco joint, right?
Oh, right.
And they shoot up the place.
The deep-fried taco joint.
Yeah, and they deep-fry the guy's hands and all that stuff, and Toxie's fighting the bad guys. Uh-huh. And the bad guy busts out nunchucks. I don't know where he got those. But then the bad guy busts a katana out, and he gets it off the wall. So this is a Mexican joint that just has katanas on the wall.
Hey, man, they like the state fair weaponry.
I mean, all the other decorations are Mexican.
It's an heirloom piece, man.
I don't get it.
Oh, God. I don't. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what they were thinking. Like, wouldn't it be funny if there were just some Japanese weapon in a Mexican restaurant?
I got that sensation that, in the writer's room, such as it is, are inventing these ludicrous situations. And then at the end of every iteration, they're like, okay, what can we do to make this the most extreme version?
Yeah.
Like,
and they just go for it every time.
And they just keep on going and keep on going. And then, like, what lame joke can we put in there? I'm honestly surprised there weren't, like, fart jokes.
Yeah. There were a lot of dick jokes,
jokes. Not a lot of scatatotics. Yeah, because that's sort of, like, Toxie is pissing out toxic waste. And then a pimp comes to try to pimp a 12-year-old girl at him, which is like, some of this stuff's like, man, this is some
12
really...
12 years old, just $12.
12 years old,
says.
$1 a year.
Yeah.
Got
anything cheaper? Oh, that's a bad joke. Yeah, and the other piss joke is some guy pisses his pants when Toxie grabs him or scares him or something.
Not any more scat humor is what I was getting at.
Yeah, just a lot of dick punching and crotch trauma.
Yep.
I do kind of like that his calling card is a mop. I think that was fairly inspired.
Why did he keep? Because everything else about his performance, or everything else about him transformed. I don't understand the mop connection.
I mean, that's just he's mopping up the city. I mean, there's at one point a newspaper article that says he's mopping up the mobsters.
Ah, right. Okay.
Monster mops up mobsters.
All right.
Which is hard to say.
It sure is. I'll give it to him. Anything else we want to say about Toxic Avengers?
They're actually several sequels to this, and so there are. This movie was made first in 1984. Then they did
this movie
a
got
couple
some,
of sequels.
This movie did get some critical notice. Like I saw there was a Leonard Martin review where he gave it like 2.5 out of 4 stars, which is probably more than this movie deserves.
I think so.
It's got like 67% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. How do the sequels fare?
The sequels don't fare well. So part two has the coveted 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's not because there are no reviews. It's because all the reviews are bad.
So even
every
trauma
single
fans
one.
Are like, this is garbage.
Yes.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know what movie you could make after this that would be so offensive to the people who like the first one that they didn't appreciate it.
Like,
and
like this movie
no
has
one
nothing
knew appreciated
that made the Toxic Avenger a hit. Like, what? What does that even mean?
And then there's part three, The Last Temptation of Toxie, which has a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. But here's where I think they fell down. Both of those movies came out in the same year, 1989.
Well, I haven't done as much research, and I haven't seen this movie, and I'm not as well grounded in schlock as you. But from what little I could tell, 2 and 3 was supposed to be one movie, but the guy filmed it realized he had way too much material, so he edited it into 2 movies.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have just cut the bullshit from that series of movies.
Hey man, film's expensive. No, I do kind of want to see maybe the second Toxic Avenger just to see like
what a Zero looks like.
Yeah, like something like I'll the only people watching this are the fans of the first one. Mm-hmm. So what are the fans of the first one? What are they seeing in this that makes it just irredeemable in their eyes?
Yeah,
because it's hard for me to imagine what that would look like.
They did another sequel. I don't know when this one came out, but it's called Citizen Toxie, The Toxic Avenger Part 4. It's more recent. It's not super recent, but it's not
in the crazy. 2000s recent?
I think it's 2000.
Okay.
I think is when it came out.
Jeez, that's still 16 years ago, man.
Yeah. And they also made an off-Broadway musical of this thing that I think still runs, is contemporarily running. Yeah, it's real strange. Apparently it has a lot of heart, according to the reviews.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to know what the song numbers are.
And there's that. Yeah, it's probably, what is it?
What was that body, song that they were singing in the body? Yeah, like the
body something. Body love, body.
Body glove, body love, body talk, body sponge. I don't know.
Yeah, that was it. And apparently there's a remake in the works and has been kicking around Hollywood for a few years now. At one point, Arnold Schwarzenegger was attached to it. To play Toxie, and then he saw the original and was like, nope, no, not doing
really?
That.
Really?
He's backed
like,
out.
This is garbage.
He did. That was his only comment on it.
This is garbage.
Surprisingly apathetic for a film this noteworthy. And then I guess the guy directing it is Steve Pink, who is the director of Hot Tub Time Machine and High Fidelity. And he is apparently still attached to it. So I don't know if this thing's ever going to get made, but if it does, I think I'd be interested to see what a 2016 version of that looks like.
I would see a remake from someone that I thought that's done interesting work, and that certainly qualifies. Plus, Bozo's girlfriend would love this director. You know, pink's her favorite color.
That's true.
So, you know, it's fitting. How fitting.
I don't have a lot more to say about this. I wouldn't say it was a waste of time rewatching it, but I did not enjoy it as much as the first time I saw it.
I do feel like this is like one of those things where I don't regret seeing it because it is famous or infamous for what it is.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt like it was a little bit of a blind spot in my pop culture, but I'll never watch this movie again.
No, why would you?
Unless my son says, hey, Dad, I want to watch Toxic Avenger sometime. Like, sure, why not?
But I can also see why if you saw this very young, you would love it. Because sure. This is the distilled version of everything I loved about schlocky B movies in the 80s.
I liked a lot of stupid shit when I was young. Like,
yeah.
I really like that Six String Samurai. I know you hate that movie, but it.
I also hated that movie when I was very young. So
sure.
I don't know what I'd think of it now.
Sure. but like that's kind of like my, I guess, B grade schlocky film experience from my late teens. But yeah, no, I get it. I just, it's one of those things where I maybe had to be there.
I think so.
And I wasn't. But I hope you guys, anytime someone commissions me to podcast something that they really feel strongly about, emotionally connected, I'm always nervous. So I hope we didn't piss you guys off on Christmas, no less, Amy and Jason.
Well, we love their other one. Their other one was great.
Yeah.
Transformers. Awesome movie.
And plus, like, I go again. I didn't. Yeah, I kind of hated this film.
Okay,
but I did. I didn't. I hated the film. I didn't hate the experience of watching it.
Okay,
like I was liquored up. It was early morning, and I was watching it with Jim. So there's worse. And that's the thing. Like, if I watched this by myself, I wouldn't have made it through.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like if it wasn't a commission, like I'm glad we watched this together because it would have been really. Without someone there to like yuck it up with and poke fun of it and laugh, it would have been a kind of a miserable experience. This is not something you should just watch on some random boring Saturday afternoon.
No. Get drunk, have some friends over, watch it if you want. But Definitely. Other than that, I'd say stay away.
It's a party film.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Amy, for being a really thoughtful wife and commissioning these two movies for your husband. And coincidentally,
I'm just going to go ahead and move. I'm going to go ahead and call it best Christmas present he's ever received.
That's a Jim Jones seal of approval.
Sure is.
If you'd like to commission your very own podcast, it's easy. Go to baldmove.com/shop. And click on the big old film canister looking thing, and you will not go wrong. You will not go astray. We will be back with another one shortly. I'm not even sure because these Christmas presents are kind of done out of sequence. I'm not sure exactly what's next coming up, but we do have some goodies, and they'll probably be releasing a week or so from now. So, Merry Christmas. Thanks for your support, and we'll see you again real soon.